prepare myself for two marathons so one marathon becomes easy. See, you need to have a complete understanding of this arsenal, not just a familiarity. So for those of you who are like used to skimming, don't do that with this program. You need to listen to this program over and over and over again. One of the best ways to get a complete understanding is through listening. In addition to keeping this program with you and referring to it daily, get the book, read the book, and have the book available so you can use the closes written in the book, okay? But you also want to continue to listen to the audio program. You want to refer to it as it will benefit you by reminding you of what you can use. This program has helped thousands of deal makers and dreamers. Listen to it until you can duplicate my every word, my every little joke. You know, just keep listening to it until you're sick of listening to me and past that point to where you're able to predict, oh, he's going to say this right now, and I love this. See, I know people who on the program, on this program, have 10x their income, okay? That they were making 40, and they went to 400. Because a master becomes a master through repetition. All masters of all arts become masters through the repetition. Know them well. Know these closes, this entire arsenal, so well that you can use them in any order and with complete confidence. Rule number 9. Always stay with the buyer and reduce the number of times you leave your buyer alone. Now, this is important that you continue to create and leverage credibility and believability with your prospect or your customer. You have to continue to increase your credibility with them. Each time you leave a customer to go check with someone else on something, this establishes some lack of credibility in the mind of your prospect. While you do want to use leaving to check with a third party at times, you don't want to overuse this. This is the great notoriety of the automobile dealer, who continues to send the salesperson back and forth over and over, and the greatest peeve of the buying public of automobiles. This back and forth creates undue antagonism in the negotiations. It actually lowers the perceived value of the salesperson. It reduces the customer's experience to negative. Reduces customer experience, extends the closing time, and actually affects the end price that they get for their product. This does not mean there's not an appropriate time to leave, and there is. As using a third party or authority can be a very powerful close, but you don't want to overuse it. You want to stay with the money, stay in your presentations, and quit leaving so often. Rule number 10. Always treat the prospect, the person you're in front of, or the board, or whoever the group is you're in front of, treat them like they will do something. One of the biggest errors made in negotiations, particularly by experienced negotiators and salespeople, is the mistaken ability, or disability in this case, to determine who is and who is not a buyer. Now, anyone that's listening to this program can think back over your career, as short or long as it may be, of multiple times when you made this error, and it cost you business. You thought, oh, they're not going to buy, they can't buy, this is a problem, that's a problem. You predicted the future on their behalf, and you were wrong. They went out and bought from someone else. I have been on hundreds of transactions whereby I was told there was absolutely no way the person would close. And because I treated them like they would, I went in, handled their problems, handled the objections, handled the complaints, handled the situations. Because I treated them as they would, they did, after being told there's no way they would. See, regardless of the circumstances, no money, no budget, no taxes are due, I can't do this, I'm not the decision maker, I can't make a decision. Always, 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 okay, regardless of who you're dealing with, treat them like they can do something. See, I have this little trick I play on myself when I'm in a close whereby I survey the prospect for all the signs that demonstrate to me that they have bought in the past. They have made decisions in the past. I look at the scene, you know. Let's say I'm in a negotiation right now. I look around the room. Oh, wow. The watch they have, they bought that. The shirt they own, they bought that. The suit they're wearing, they bought that. The necklace she's wearing, she bought that. The car they drove up in, the office they're renting, the place, you know, the house they live in, the credit cards they have. Oh, he's got a trophy on his desk. Somebody paid for that. He's got files over here. He's got a phone bill every month. You know, I want to create all the evidence that I can that this person in front of me has actually demonstrated the ability and history of actually closing with others. So regardless of what I'm hearing them say, I always tell myself, every buyer is a buyer, treat them as a buyer, and they will turn into a buyer, if you treat them like a buyer. You get it? Every buyer is a buyer. Treat them as a buyer. They will turn into a buyer if you treat them like a buyer. It's a nice little rhythm, a nice little poem you can make up for yourself. Treat the buyer like a buyer because they will buy someday, somehow, some way. Rule number 11. Always know you can come to an agreement. Now, this ties into number 10. This is the mental attitude that has to be further developed in all of us. And that attitude needs to be protected. This attitude of they will do something has to be protected like all the gold at Fort Knox, if there's even gold at Fort Knox anymore. I continue to maintain this idea that they will come to an agreement no matter what I am told, almost to the point of deluding myself. I continue to tell myself no matter what, they will do something. So that I start to convince me. You know the old saying, where there's a will, there's a way? The mind, this mindset of knowing that I can come to an agreement, that I will reach an agreement, requires me to eliminate all the negativity that comes my way from my environment, as though negativity was a disease that kills. And by the way, it does. People spend billions of dollars trying to protect their bodies from diseases and spend next to nothing on protecting their minds from the endless viral infections of we can't do that, it's not possible, there's no way, and on and on. The newspapers, television, and radio are the disease carriers and cancers of our day, spreading misinformation and mental contamination that brings wreckage to marriages, careers, finances, and people's dreams. If you don't have my Rules to Success program that comes on DVD or CD, this is a tremendous tool for making sure you always can maintain a positive mental attitude throughout the close. The people that you work with, managers, salespeople, other employees, the receptionists, anybody in your organization that has any kind of negativity going on, handle them as they are carriers, much like they would be of the flu or cold or a venereal disease. You don't want it, right? Good. Then tell them to knock it off. And I would encourage you to do the same thing with newspapers and television and radio. Knock it off. It's killing you. You have to maintain an attitude of agreement. And if you have anyone negative in your environment, you might want to let them just, you know, maybe stop this piece, rewind it, and have them listen to it. Because you need to either handle them or you need to get away from them. Because either way, they're going to affect you. You're going to either affect them positively and have them handle themselves and clean up their act and clean up their head and clean up their actions. Or, hey, get them out of your environment so you don't get sick like they are. Rule number 12. Always maintain a positive demeanor no matter the response from your prospect or, for that fact, from management that is on your side. You understand what I'm saying? You got a prospect being negative. You got maybe management being negative. It is critical, as stated above, that you maintain an attitude of being positive no matter how your prospect, no matter how ridiculous that prospect is or their offer may be. Keep it light, stay positive, maintain a positive, professional, can-do attitude regardless and throughout the entire negotiations. In my marriage, my wife and I do everything we can daily to keep our life light and easy, fun and flowing, so we can excel in our marriage and in our lives. We effort to do the same thing in our offices regardless of the results so as to keep things positive, upbeat, even game-like. It is said you can't always control what is happening to you, but you can control how you respond to it. When you're closing a deal, it is critical that you control your attitude regardless of your prospect's attitude. When you go negative due to the buyer or prospect being negative, there's only one outcome, and it's not positive. When they're negative and you stay positive, it only makes you look that much better and more attractive. When they become insane and emotional and you're rational and logical and positive, it makes you look even more sane. When the world's going crazy and you're the only sane person, you become the leader automatically and people will do and go where you say to go. Negativity always gives into positive, always, as long as you're more positive than they are negative. Now, this attitude thing has to be practiced, and it needs to be practiced not just by the new person, the rookie, by the guy that's been around 2 or 3 or 4 years, but needs to be practiced as well by seasoned people. A word of caution to the most successful and seasoned professionals listening to this program. You, of all the groups that listen to this program, you must practice this more than any other group. Due to your years of experience, your many years of experience and your hardening, you can come off to your clients or prospects or buyers or whatever you want to call them, you can come off as a bit intolerant and arrogant in your responses. Be careful, old pro, not to rest on your past successes, as that it will cost you future sales. One great book says, "The meek will inherit the earth." And I say, those that can stay positive no matter what is happening around them will inherit the treasures of the earth. Rule number 13, always smile no matter the outcome. Always smile no matter the response or the objection or regardless of the communications. This is not just about being positive now. This is taking it to what your physical manifestations. You have to practice this until you're able to genuinely smile regardless of the situation. The 6-month-old child seems to do this naturally and melts everyone in her path. Walk around and see how children smile, and you will see the financial value that awaits you by rehabilitating your ability to be able to smile throughout the close. Now, for the next week, I'm going to give you a little challenge. For the next week, practice smiling with everyone in every situation you encounter, including arguments, disagreements, when you don't get your way, and every time you perceive poor service. I want you to smile. Every time you get in an argument, I want you to smile. Every time you get a disagreement, I want you to smile when you don't get your way, and I want you to smile when you don't get good service. I want you to smile big, and I want you to smile always. Do this until you're able to argue with a smile. Disagree with a smile, negotiate with a smile, overcome objections with a smile, and close with a smile. Until you do that, you will never be the master of your profession. Smile always. Smile in every situation. You know, have you ever noticed that very successful people smile all the time? It's not because they're successful that they are smiling. It's how they got successful. Don't you get it? You're like, oh yeah, I could smile too if I had his money. Dude, he was smiling before he had the money. This is that $1 million tip smile, okay? This is the guy smiling. That's why people do good things. You ever seen an ugly guy with a beautiful woman? It's because he had a good attitude. It's not because he was pretty. Rule number 14. Always treat the buyer, the prospect, the person across from you, always treat them like they can. I have always said, if you treat someone like they have money, they will act like they have money. You understand? If I treat somebody like they have money, they'll act like they have money. They'll even act with regards to money with money they don't have. If you treat someone in a certain manner, they will respond in that manner. Treat me like I won't buy, and I assure you, I will not buy. All your words, responses, actions, facial expressions, your handling objections need to communicate that you're treating the person across from you as though they are someone that will do something, that is going to say yes, that will ultimately go along with your proposal. Treat them like they're gonna play and they will play. In my first book, Sell to Survive, I told a story about how I hooked my wife. I used this exact premise whereby I always treat her like she would be my girl. I never stopped acting in such a manner regardless of how she treated me. I'm going to tell you, she didn't treat me so good the first 13 months. Even when it wasn't positive, I maintained she will. Even today when she gets mad at me, I treat her as though she loves me, admires me, and as though I can do no wrong in her eyes. Sooner, and sometimes later, I close her on this. Your buyer, your prospect, will become whatever you believe about them every time. Treat them like they will play, no matter what. Rule number 15. Always acknowledge the offer. Always acknowledge the buyer for any offer they make and every communication they make. Regardless of what the buyer offers in the negotiations, even if it's absolutely not acceptable, take the time to acknowledge them for that offer. They make you an offer. You know it's not acceptable. Thank you very much for that. I want to congratulate you. That is I really appreciate your time to make that offer. See, the wannabe closer doesn't take the time to acknowledge the prospect. They don't take the time to acknowledge the offer because they're so intent on selling their proposal and then fail to acknowledge what was even offered in the first place. Because once somebody offers something, at least you got them moving in the right direction. When you don't take the time to acknowledge, you only make the matters worse for yourself as your prospect becomes more solid about what they just offered as they didn't get acknowledged. See, if somebody says, hey man, Grant, I'm really mad at you, and I just completely disregard they say that, what do you think they're going to do next time? They're going to get more solid, and they're going to say, hey, I told you, I'm really mad at you. And if I keep not acknowledging them, they're going to keep raising their voice until I hear them. Take the time to say to every offer, regardless of what it is, how ridiculous it is, how crazy it is, how stupid it is, regardless, acknowledge. I appreciate you for making that suggestion and then move back into your proposal. So always acknowledge. Rule number 16, always agree with the buyer. Always, 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 always agree with the buyer and never, ever disagree. This is one of the most absolute truths when negotiating. If violated, it will crush you. Always agree with your prospect no matter what they say. That is completely different than the old saying, the customer is always right. Not true. The customer is not always right. I don't believe this to be true. But rather, this old saying has gotten confused with, hey, look, just be agreeable. Always agree with them. Whether the buyer, the prospect, the person across from you, your husband, your wife, your friends, your relatives, whoever it is, the insane guy on the street corner, whether they're right or wrong is not the issue. If you want to resolve conflict, if you want to resolve disagreement, it only requires you to agree with the other person's point of view so that you can actually handle the disagreement. Because the moment I say, yeah, I agree with you, they're going to be like, even if they're insane, right? They're going to be like, you do? Yeah, really? See, what do I have? We have some commonality now. We have some communication. For a disagreement to exist, it requires two sides. Once one side agrees with the other side, the other view, the disagreement's over. Disagreement only results in not closing deals. You got to be willing to lose the battle in order to win the war. Be willing to agree with the disagreement in order to move forward to the close. Rule number 17, always look for a solution. Look, the world is filled with can't-do people. And like negative people, there is no shortage, okay? The world is filled with these can't-do people, and then there's the handful of can-do people. The 6 billion people on planet Earth, I mean, if there's 1% of can-do people, can-do, will-do, no problem, you got it, positive, excellent, super, I can figure it out, leave it with me. If there's 1% of the planet, I mean, you got to tell me where the valuable is, in the shortage or the oversupply. Those that can do, do. Those that can't do, don't do anything except keep telling others that they can't do something. See, no one cares what you can't do. They only care what you can do and how it can be done and how you can meet their specifications and how you can solve their problems and how you can offer the service. Nobody cares what you can't do. No, they don't even hear about it. Hey, man, I need my room upgraded to a suite. Can't do it, sir. I don't care what you can't do. Show me how you can do it. You understand? Hey, I need this audio program fixed. Grant, we can't do that. I don't care. I need this plumbing fixed. I can't do that, Grant. I don't care what you can't do. I want to go to the moon. Oh, we'll never be able to do that. Come on. Can-do attitude. This attitude is about attitude and mental conditioning so that you can always keep moving forward and not hold up, grind out, you know, swamp your negotiations. You got to find a way, figure a way out. You got to have that attitude to look for solutions. Now, we're not attempting space travel here, folks. We're trying to close a deal. There's nothing ever been offered me that I couldn't figure some way to close it. Particularly if I had the attitude that I could figure a way to close it. I need to come up with an earthly solution of how it can work and ask them to participate in finding a solution. Sometimes it requires you to be very, very creative in your thinking. But this goes back to being committed. If you're committed, you get creative. If you're committed to going to another planet, then we'll figure out space travel. See, there has to be a way. Let's figure this thing out together would be your terminology. There has to be a way. Some great lines you can depend on are always, hey, how can we make this work? What can you do to help me make this go right? Sir, help me out here. I'm doing everything I can to make it work for both of us. See, people appreciate those that don't quit, and they appreciate those that always look for a solution. Note, if the people you are closing aren't offering you a job, it's because you're not using the information in this audio program. So one great indicator is, boy, man, you're good, man. Hey, you want to come work for me? When people start offering you jobs, that is a good indicator that you're truly becoming a great closer. Okay, rule number 18. Care so much that you refuse to not close. Now, this goes beyond selling and is more on the line of purpose that we talked about earlier with the charity or fundraiser. An individual reaches incredible heights in their life if what they are doing lines up with their true purpose. That is why you see mission workers, charity workers going at it day and night, endless, to make a difference. You know, you see the husband and the wife or the boyfriend and the girlfriend go out to South America, run a charity. They're there for 3 months, sleeping in a tent, no air conditioning, getting all kind of infections. Why? Because their purpose is so big. See, this is missing in most salespeople. Truth is, it's missing in career people, missing in business people, bankers, real estate agents, across the board. It's missing. This idea of purpose is missing, particularly in sales and negotiations, closers, as most people don't correctly and completely align themselves with selling a product and closing a sale with some higher purpose. At the end of the day, your true purpose will carry you through. An employee of mine watched me handle a customer over the phone one day out of my office in Los Angeles. And when the call was over, he stated, "Man, the difference between your call and my call is the amount of care that you communicate and your desire to help his people. It is not how much you want their money or even the clothes, but how much you care and how much you want to help another that ultimately will get you what you want in life. Care more and you will close more." Rule number 19, use the full arsenal of closes. Never depend or get comfortable with one or two or three or four. Get well-versed in all the closes. I have stated this earlier. It is critical that you don't get familiar or comfortable with only a few of these, but prepare yourself to be able to use all of them. Certainly, you will find your favorites. That will be the first ones you'll gravitate to. Actually, what you'll gravitate to are the ones you maybe are familiar with or you know or you heard something similar of. You will find those, and oh, those are the easiest for me to remember. You know why? Because you already agree with them. I want you to go grab the rest of them and take time with those. You'll find your favorites, and those that somehow make the most sense to you, you'll move towards. But I want you, again, to take time to get familiar with and be able to use all of them, as one day soon, you will need them all. It's like a hammer. A hammer is always looking for a nail, right? If you're a screwdriver, you're always looking for a screw. You know why? Because that's the purpose of the screwdriver. If you're a closer and you know all these closes, all of them, you will actually start setting up scenarios to where you can use that close. So get familiar with all of them. Rule number 20. Always know that you don't truly provide a service until you close. This is critical. Selling, presenting, demonstrating, promoting, marketing, building trust, making friends. Look, they're all commendable. They're admirable, maybe. But they don't close deals. Breathing and eating are important. But ultimately, it's not the eating and the breathing that you want to do. It's the living you want to do. You get it? Making a friend is not the deal. Building trust is not the deal. Selling, presenting, demonstrating, promoting, that's not the deal. Closing the deal is the deal. If I could live without eating, I would do it absolutely. It'd be good for most of the planet to give up half the eating they're doing. I want to close the deal is the point. You get it? The same with selling and closing as eating, breathing, and living. It's the living you want to do. It's the closing you want to do. Certainly I have to sell. Closing allows you and your company to expand. What's the benefits of closing? We close more deals. We close 20% more deals. What happens to your company? It can expand. It has bigger budgets for advertising. It can get new products. It can do more research and development. All the things that closing does for a company benefits the company. It benefits you. All the things that took place prior to the close were necessary to get the close, but they won't allow for survival and expansion. Close the deal. Be willing to do whatever it takes to close the deal. And know that only until you actually get that critical exchange point that we talked about earlier, only when you get that, the close, do you provide real value. Look, I've been studying selling, negotiating, closing for over 25 years. And I do consider myself an expert in this sector. This program is made possible because of thousands of hours of research I have done in this area. It is also possible because of the many sales greats that I took the time to study over these years that have gone before me, that did programs just like this, that I'm able to do this program. These people greatly assisted me, some positive, some negative. These people assisted me, though, in my sales education, in my sales career, and in the development of this program. While the majority of these closes are original to me, Many of them are the result of contributions over my years of studying from others like Zig Ziglar and Tom Hopkins and Jackie Cooper, Brian Tracy, and many, many others, just to mention a few. This arsenal of techniques, the Closer's Almanac, is presented in no particular order. So don't assume that the first one is more important than the 99th one, because the first one doesn't have any more value than those that follow it. They all have value when used at the appropriate time in concert with others. I have been in situations where it would have appeared that my first five attempts failed, yet later discovered the first five attempts only prepared the client to be closed on the sixth attempt. I would never suggest to anyone that one close will get the job done, but I also would not suggest that you cannot close in the first attempt. It has only been my experience over 25 years that this is an exceptional situation. If they closed on the first event or the first attempt, that would only be something you should be grateful for. It should not be expected as the norm, but it also should not be excluded as a possibility. You will also notice that each of the many closes included has a list of other closes that you might want to use with or might be compatible or that are similar. Again, none of these techniques are any more valuable than another, but all are to be used in concert with one another, which will create the effect you desire. You will become most effective when you become familiar with them all. You will become unstoppable when each of them and all of them become something you no longer think with, but just deliver. Beware of becoming comfortable with just a few, because you would defeat the purpose of having an arsenal. Learn them all, and then learn how to tell a story around them, one after the other, weaving the story, and you will be rewarded the status of master closer. The more a salesperson understands this thing called the close, the more he will reach to sell others. The more he will prospect, the more professional and believable he will appear to his client, and the more he will be rewarded. It is this thing called the close that defeats more people than anything else, and it should not have to defeat you. This thing called the close is needed by every human being on this planet, regardless of your career, your title, your post, your job, your purpose, or what you do. You need to learn how to get final exchange from others so they close on your ideas. Closing the deal is vital to a salesperson's survival. And without a wide and varying range of techniques and a complete understanding and the ability to deliver each one of these, you will never reach your financial goals. But armed up with a complete arsenal, confident in how to use them, the ability to communicate them clearly, a persistence muscle that can stay in and keep using, you can get anything you want on this planet. Remember, dreams only become reality when someone closed others on that dream. So get prepared for an arsenal of closes. The delivery close. So when will you want to take delivery or have your new whatever installed? Right away? This afternoon? Or tomorrow morning around 11? This thing called the delivery close assumes ownership, offers options to say yes to. This is one of the most powerful and overlooked closes there is. It's very, very simple. You never want to ask, what do you think? Or open-ended questions you don't know the answer to. Always assign ownership by using the word your. Again, when would you want to take delivery of your new or have your new whatever installed? Right away, come back this afternoon, or tomorrow morning around 11 o'clock. If it's something you're delivering, hey, when do you want to take delivery? I can have it installed right away. You want to do it this afternoon, right away, or tomorrow morning around 11 o'clock. Always assume ownership. It's called the delivery close. The check close. Would there be any other changes or additions you'd want me to make to your new before we come to an agreement on the figures? Now, this thing called the check close assumes ownership. It avoids rejection. It creates an opportunity to close based on changes and additions rather than the purchase that your buyer may be interested in. Maybe they have their attention on something that needs to be changed, added, or amended to your proposal. So here it is again, the check close. Would there be any other changes or additions you'd want me to make to your new before we come to an agreement on the figures? Scale from 1 to 10 close. On a scale from 1 to 10, how would you rate your new? Wait for an answer. Okay, so on a scale from 1 to 10, how would you rate your new, whatever the product is? What would make it a 10? So once you get the answer, hey, it's a 7, what would make it a 10? Once they say, look, I need this, this, and this, great, let me get that handled, sign here and here. So if there's things you need to add or change, add those things, the changes, the cost of that, and then go for the close. This is a killer close. It gets you some sense of how sold the buyer is and what would it take to make this product or this proposal perfect. Note, just because the buyer or the prospect says it's a 7 does not mean they won't say yes to this agreement as a 7, as they may be satisfied with a 7. You can also use this when finding out about the product he is using now. So you could ask him, hey, how would you rate the product you have now on a scale from 1 to 10? Great. What changes would you need to make that a 10 so it's going to better identify the proposal or the presentation you need to make? This is great for any consumer or service sale, and especially for realtors trying to get a listing on a home. Payment close. If the payments aren't agreeable, we wouldn't expect you to buy the product. I am confident that our local lender can provide you with alternatives that will make your monthly investments agreeable and affordable. See, most products today are bought on payment and should be sold on payments. I don't care what you're selling, houses, cars, equipment, large contracts, lease terms, you should be selling to a payment. This fact is missed by many industries, including insurance, investments, furniture, retail sales, real estate, annuities, the whole gamut. Why sell the price when you know it's going on credit cards or the buyer is going to be making installments? This is a great close when the buyer becomes payment concerned, hangs up their ability to pay monthly, and avoids resting the deal just on payments. So again, payment close. If the payments aren't agreeable, because that's their concern, we wouldn't expect you to purchase the product. I am confident that our local lenders, of which we have many, can provide you with alternatives that will make your monthly investments agreeable and affordable. Sign here and here. Payments to figures close. When the buyer says, what are the payments going to be? Sir, until you and I come to an agreement on the price, the product, and the terms, you will not need to concern yourself with payments, as there won't be any. I need your initials here, here, and here. Now you're looking for approval of price, product, terms, anything else other than the payments. So this is called payments to figures. You're trying to move off of payments in this case back to the figures to get agreement on the major points of the proposal. Until you and I come to an agreement on the price, this is when they're saying, what are the payments going to be? Until you and I come to an agreement on the price, the product, the terms, you don't really need to concern yourself with payments, as there won't be any. I need your initials here, here, and here. Now this is opposite of the close that preceded it, which was the payment close, where the buyer wants to move to payment and still has a disagreement about the price. This avoids closing on payments for those of you who want to do that. Management might say, no, let's focus on the figures. Let's let the payments take care of themselves with the lender. Beware of the buyer who continues to move the target on you from price to payments to terms to conditions to equipment to whatever amendments. Beware this buyer as he continues to move the target, giving you too many things to handle so that you can actually never close that opportunity. So this is called payments to figures close. This is called a rate close. This is for the buyer asking you, what are the current rates? Okay, and in a situation where you're not sure, you can't nail that down yet, you want to use what's called the rate close. We use every lender in the state, including every credit union. Who do you currently use? Wait for an answer. We have access to them as well. That's great. There are a couple people in town that are cheaper than your lender at this current time. Sign here and here, and I will provide you with all the options. Worst case is we use your present lender. See, this particular close is when you don't want to quote rates, maybe because they're changing so fast or so often, or you're not quite sure in this moment. They will change. Trust me, rates change every hour. This will negatively impact your credibility if you quote something and it can't deliver, and then will later give the buyer or prospect a reason to bail. You have to be positive about your ability to get lending in every situation and every deal. It is your responsibility to handle this so you can get a close on the terms, the price, the amendment. You're trying to move the deal forward. Okay? Automobile dealers are exceptional at this, but most other industries drop their responsibility around rates, payments, and terms from lenders and think, you know, just closing a deal will get the deal. That's not true. You have to take responsibility, increase your responsibility about actually getting the money. In this case, the money is the exchange. So this is called the rates close. We use every lender in the state, positive attitude, including every credit union. Who do you use? If we have access to them as well, that's great. There are only a couple of people in town cheaper than your lender. Sign right here. Sign here. I'll look at all the options. We'll provide them. The worst case is you go to your present lender. Great close. Equipment close. Assuming we can get all the items you told me you wanted and have to have, and we have the product delivered as you requested, I would need your okay here, here, and here, where I noted the changes. Now, this gets the focus off the request of changes and back onto the close. See, again, your buyer or prospect, some of them very professional, know to keep adding things, so you want to nail things down. Ask for the agreement on the figures, assuming you get all the other changes handled, and this does not mean you have to include or give those changes away. So, equipment close. Hey, assuming I can get that added, assuming I can change that, assuming I can get this done, assuming I can do all the things you told me you wanted and have the product delivered as you requested, I need your okay here and here, where I noted the changes. Get the close. Title and registration close. One of my absolute favorite closes. Very simple. Assumes ownership. Whose name will we be registering your new product in? Your name, your wife's name, the company's name, or both? See, this doesn't ask for an agreement. This doesn't ask, will you do it? This doesn't ask when you want to do it. This says, whose name do you want to put it in? It assumes ownership. Probably the most powerful assumption close of all. You look the buyer dead in the eye, ask for the close. I know I'm going to use this. Personally, I will use this on almost every deal. So, title and registration close. Whose name will we be registering your new product in? Always calling it your new product. Your name, your wife's name, the company's name, or all three. Or in this case, all four. Paperwork close. So whose name will we be doing the paperwork in? Your name, your company's name, or both? This is very similar to the title and registration close. Assumes ownership. Calls it your product. Paperwork close. See, as there's paperwork on every transaction done, everybody that's listening to this has got a transactional paperwork process. So no matter what you sell, you're going to be asking a question like, whose name, or how do you want this titled? Very similar closes. Wording's a little different. You could even use this paperwork close as a trial close earlier on to determine whether or not you're with the actual decision maker or the actual ownership or whoever's going to sign this documentation to finalize the deal. Spouse stall close number one. The buyer says, I need to talk to my spouse. What if your spouse says no? See, what you want to deal with here is worst case scenario. Now, there's only two answers to this question. What if your spouse says no? A, he won't or she won't. Or B, we won't buy. So let's handle one at a time. What if your spouse says no? A, he won't say no. Grant, I know my husband. He's not going to say no. Then I need your okay here and here. Now that, believe it or not, will happen more often than you think. Okay? Grant, my husband never says no to me. Good, then I need your okay here and here and go back for the close. Do not ask questions like, what is he going to say no to or what's the problem? You're creating objections you don't need to deal with. John, what if your spouse says no? She's not going to say no to me, Grant. Good, then I need your okay here and here. Great close. Or, Grant, if he or she says no, we won't buy. Then you want to ask this question. Would he or she say no to the product or to the money? If she says no to the money, you say, what about the money? Is it the price? The down payment? The monthly payment? What is it? So you determine what the actual objection that they think the husband or wife would say no to. Now, being that they haven't seen the money, whose objection are you really hearing? Grant, he's going to say no to the down payment. Oh, who's really objecting to the down payment? It's the person in front of you. You're basically using the spouse that's not there to determine what the real complaint or objection is. So, we won't buy the car, Grant, if my husband says no. Would he say no to the product or no to the money? If it's money, what are you going to say? What about the money? The down payment? The monthly payment? The price? The terms? The rate? What is it? If he or she says he's going to say no to the product, what do you suggest then? Well, he wants a truck. I want a car. He wants a double-side stainless steel, and I want a wood. You know, whatever the deal is, you're going to find out what the problem is right now. Understand that the spouse is not there. So whatever they answer, product or money, you're dealing with their objection, not the spouse's. While people consult their spouses for many decisions today, many spouses still decide without checking in with the spouse. This is used by the individual customer or person you're proposing to as a stall tactic more often than as a valid objection. Note also that more women will buy without their husbands today than men will buy without their wives. Check for this to be a valid objection with the spouse stall clause 1. Also, you're able to flush the actual objection by asking, what would your spouse say no to, the product or the money? Great clause. Learn it. You'll use it all the time. Spouse stall clause number 2. Grant, I need to talk to my spouse. Now, this is after you've presented, you're in the close, you gave the presentation. Grant, I need to talk to my spouse. I agree, and you should talk to your spouse. But if your wife or your husband is anything like mine, she never tells me no when I love something. Never. Never happens. Okay? And I never tell her no when she loves something. So I need your approval here, here, and here. Let me get this ready for you. Now, this has to be used with confidence, speed, and strength. You validate and acknowledge the objection. I need to talk to my spouse. You look up, smile, and tell your story. I agree, and you should. But if your wife is anything like my wife, she never tells me no when I love something, when I'm sure about something. She just doesn't do it. And the truth is, I never tell her no when she wants something. I need your approval here, here, and here, and let's do this. Now, this could get you in a situation where your buyer, prospect, says, well, I wish I was married to your wife, because mine, when she says no, that's the way it is. Then you'd have to resort back to number 1. Would your wife say no to the product or no to the price? So that's why you have to know all these clauses, not one or the other. Don't depend on one. Know them all, know them well, and be able to weave them. Spouse stall clause number 3. I need to talk to my spouse. I'm with you, sir, and I totally, absolutely understand. But let me say this. It's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. So let's get you going right away. Sign here and here. Now, try this, and you will start relying on it. Master closers only should use this. I mean, you got to have some confidence to use this. Don't be weak. You got to go for it. You got to go for it with confidence. You got to put fear aside. You have nothing to lose. Smile before you say the first word and deliver. Better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. Let's get this going right away. Sign here and here. Spouse stall clause number 4. Buyer says, I need to talk to my wife. Sir, if you're anything like me, and I think you are, I talk to my wife about everything. Yeah, Grant, we talk about everything. Good, then she already knows you're here. She already knows you're looking. You wouldn't have left the house without her knowing it. Just, I never leave the house. I never go looking. I've always talked to everything about my spouse before I ever do anything. So look, she already knows you're doing this. Would you agree? Yeah, we've talked about it. See, many times when this person says, I need to talk to my spouse, it's not true. They've already talked to their spouse. Anybody that needs to talk to their spouse about everything has probably already talked to their spouse about everything, including their visit over to you or their consideration of this product or the product they're looking at. He says, Grant, I need to talk to my CFO, right? Great, sir. If you're anything like me, my CFO and I talk about everything. In fact, my CFO would already know that I'm out doing this. Does your CFO already know you're here? Well, yeah, we talked about it. Great. He knows you're looking at this product. He knows you're considering this. He knows the company needs it. Let's do this. So what you're going to do with this close, spouse stall close number 4, is you're going to use this to basically sift through these invalid objections that are basically just stalls. Great close. Practice it for masters. Unavailable party close. So the buyer agrees to ownership at figures and conditions spelled out. Delivery is subject to so-and-so's approval. Is that fair? So you follow what I'm doing here? This is called the unavailable party close. When you don't have the party you need, maybe it's a CFO or it's a finance person or it's the spouse or whoever. Great. So the buyer agrees to ownership and figures and conditions spelled out. Delivery of the product itself is subject only to so-and-so's approval. Is that fair? Now, this should be used as the last resort for an unavailable party, and only after the spouse or boss stalls are used. Shortcutters will abuse this and lose deals, so be careful. Unavailable party closed. Buyer agrees to ownership at figures and conditions spelled out. You'll write that on the worksheet of the invoice. Delivery is subject only to, whoever the person's name is, approval. Is that fair? If they won't close on that, you're getting a stall, you don't have a valid objection, and you probably don't have a third party that really needs to be involved that you're being told. Unavailable party clothes, number two. Now, does your spouse approve of your present situation and the cost of it? You could say the CFO, whoever's involved, whoever this unavailable party is. Does this person approve of your present situation and the cost of it? Look, if nothing changes except for the fact that your situation is improved, certainly he or she would support you in improving your situation. Alternative to the above or earlier unavailable party close, this tests the validity again of the objection. Too many deals are lost trying to get the spouse or the third party in. Time is then wasted when it's not even valid. You're getting jacked. You're getting hijacked. You're getting literally stalled and not into a deal because they're going to say, well, I got to talk to so-and-so. They'll always have a third party to pop up. So you're going to say what? Unavailable party close number two. Does this person approve of your present situation and the cost incurred with your present situation? You're looking for a yes here, right? Look, if nothing changes except for the fact that your situation would be improved, the company's situation would be improved, their situation would be improved, certainly they would support you improving the conditions in the situation. Let's do this and go for the close. Insurance close. Who will you be insuring your new product with? Great, what's his number? I'll call and get coverage transferred so your insurance takes place before you leave. Now, this close is very aggressive. It's a very, very simple close, but you got to go into it really with your head around commitment and knowing that you're getting an agreement and a high level of assumption that we got a deal here, we're doing a deal. So you're sitting down. They're buying whatever it is. They could be buying a $50 product to a $50 million product. There's going to be insurance on most products purchased today because people want protection. So you're going to say, hey, by the way, who will you be insuring your new whatever with? Great. What's that phone number? Who's the insurance? What's the address of the insurance company? What's their number? I'll call them and I'll get your coverage transferred so that you're insured when you leave today. Again, this is done before you ever get involved with numbers. It's very aggressive. It can be used only by very confident closers like you. And you're not going to know how well this works until you actually use it. It's called the insurance close. Second party assist close. Now, this is when you're dealing with a second party. You're having to deal with a buyer and like the maven or the coach, the third baseman, the second baseman, whatever you want to call them, right? This is a second party that's going to give their severe intelligence to the whole purchase but not be financially involved. Second party assist close. So you're going to look at the second party, not the decision maker now, but the second party. John, at this figure, considering what you know about the product, knowing your brother as you know your brother, what advice would you give him about the purchase of this product and the fairness of the figures? What are you doing here? You're flushing out the second party. You know, the maven, this guy that's going to give the professional advice but probably knows very little about anything, but he's got to look good. So you don't want to neglect other people who may appear to be involved in the actual purchasing. But if not involved in the conversation, they'll certainly waste your deal behind your back. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to kill your deal later. So to prevent them possibly killing the deal and contaminating or putting poison into the deal, you have to get them involved and verbal and communicating with you. The buyer obviously values their opinion more than yours. They brought them with. So use them. Use this second party to assist you in actually closing the product or at least to find out any considerations that they may later share with this person that would influence their decision. Second party assist close lethal. So John, at this figure, considering what you know about the product, knowing your brother as you know your brother, what advice would you give him about the purchase of this product, the decision to buy this product, and the fairness of the figures? Flush any verbal out from the second party. Great close. Second baseman close. Very similar to the second party assist close. Here we're going to, again, use the second baseman, the third baseman, the maven, whatever you call it. We just label this the second baseman close, and it goes like this. Will you be helping with the price, the down payment, the monthly payment, the paperwork, or all of the above? This is similar to that second party assist close, but it directly asks the second party or the other party to get involved financially. You will never have a problem with this advisor ever again. And it may even cause them to step up and get involved financially. Second baseman close number one. Will you be helping with the price, the down payment, the monthly payment, the paperwork, or all of the above? Okay, great close. You got to be courageous with all these closes, folks. And you got to be committed to the close to use any of them. Okay, great close. second baseman close number two. Did you want me to work it out so that it's affordable using the monies that he or she has alone? Or did you plan on getting financially involved as well? As with all the closes, use courtesy, use respect, use a positive attitude, be interested in everyone involved, okay, even if they're a bit adversarial, and only after you had this second party involved in the sale and the presentation and the demonstration of the product itself, showing that you do welcome their involvement. So you want to welcome these second parties, these advisor types, okay? So when you get to the close, though, you're going to look at the second baseman in second baseman close number two. Let me ask you, do you want me to work this out so that it's affordable using the monies that he or she has alone? Or did you plan on getting financially involved as well to make this work for them? Okay, learn these three assist closes where you're getting third parties to assist you in the close itself. Second baseman close one, second baseman close two, and second party assist close. Great closes. Immediate delivery close. So if there aren't any objections or reasons for not moving forward with your new immediately, I will then need your okay here and here. So this is when you're just going to move for immediate delivery. If there aren't any objections or reasons for not moving forward with your new product, immediately I will need your okay here and here. You want to look them in the eyes when you use this close, pass the pen, point to the place where you want them to sign, and close the deal. You're asking for an immediate delivery. You're putting speed into your close and your process. This requires, again, confidence. If there aren't any objections, if there aren't any reasons for not moving forward with your new product immediately, then I'll need your okay here and here. You're actually asking, if there's no objections, let's roll. If there's no reasons, let's roll. If there are, they're going to come out right now. Great close, learn it, and use it every day. Agreement close number one. Now, these closes I'm about to give you are sick, okay? They're absolutely incredible closes. And the first time you're hearing, you're going to be like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can use that. Just trust me. Use the closes. They're going to work for you. And you're not going to depend on one anyway. It's called the agreement close number one. I agree it's a lot of money. Their objection is money, price, terms, whatever. I agree that it's a lot. I agree that the terms are. I agree that the payments are high. Whatever the deal is, I agree it's a lot of money. I need your okay here and here. Now, what just happened? You agreed, but you didn't fix it. See, you're handling the complaint, not the objection. I agree it's a lot of money. Most of the people buying from you knew it was a lot of money before they came there. Let's say you're selling a suit. The suit's $2,500. Man, that's a lot of money for a suit. The guy knew that. He came in asking for the label, knew he wanted a certain material. This is not the first time he shopped for that suit. He's looking at a car. He's looking at appliances. He's looking at tile for his house. He's looking at a house. Man, that's a lot of money. Yes, sir, I agree with you. It's a lot of money. I need your okay here and here. Let's do this. Agreeing first is one of the first rules of selling, and it must be used as one of the first, number one, first rules in negotiating. This is power selling at its best. What you're doing here is acknowledging the objection, but giving it no value and closing through and over it as though it is not an objection, but just a complaint. It is one of my simple favorites, the agreement close number one. I agree it's a lot of money. Try this out. I agree it's a lot of money. I need your okay here and here. Agreement close number two. Hey, I agree it's a lot of money, and I expect that you knew that it was a lot of money before you even came here. Now, I need your okay here and here. See, most people, again, know the amount or portion of it, at least a portion of the amount it was before they made their call, walked in, or looked at the product. No one says, I love the price. It's not going to happen. They all complain before they get the close. So agree, and get the close. Let's say you're raising money for a charity. Man, that's a lot of money, Grant. That's a lot of money. They didn't say they didn't have it. They said it was a lot of money. Hey, I agree it's a lot of money. And I expect that you knew it was a lot of money was needed for this particular fundraiser before you even came here. Come on, I need your help here. I need your okay here. Let's do this. Man, Grant, that's a lot of money for a house. Hey, I agree it's a lot of money. I expect you knew it was a lot of money before you came here. I need your okay here and here. Let's do this. So I want you to try that out. Agreement close number two. I agree it's a lot of money, and I expect you knew that before you got here. I need your okay here and here. Agreement close number three. I agree, and everyone that has ever bought this product, everyone that has ever made this investment, has said exactly the same thing. Now I need your approval here and here. this agreement clause number 3. You're using the agreement, and then you tell them that everyone else reached the same conclusion that they had. Everyone else had a similar reaction, and everyone else still bought the product. This is a discounting of the response as an objection. See, you're basically discounting. You acknowledge, you agree, you affirm what they said. You got it. But then you basically discount it a bit by assuming it is just a mere complaint. You'll find most objections are not objections. They're just complaints and should be handled as such, and you can still close over. It's almost like a diving board. You know, you use the spring in the diving board to get height. A wrestler uses the weight of the opponent to pull the opponent towards them. The salesperson, the professional closer, will use the objection or complaint and the weight of that complaint and the spring in the complaint as a way to move forward. Hey, Graham, man, that's a lot of money. I agree, and everyone that has ever bought this product has said exactly the same thing. Everyone that's ever made this investment has said exactly the same thing. I need your approval here and here. Let's do this. Won't be the last time close. I agree, and this isn't the first time, and it won't be the last time that you spend more money than you expected to spend. I need your okay here and here. Now, this is closing over the objection by treating it as, again, a complaint rather than an objection. Every buyer will relate to this. I guarantee you, they're going to relate. They're going to be like, yeah, every time I buy something, I always spend the most money. I never get the stuff on sale. We always pay more than we should pay. By just acknowledging, I agree, and this isn't the first time, and I know it won't be the last time that you guys spend more money than you expect to spend. I need you okay here and here. So it's called won't be the last time close. Try it now. I agree, and this isn't the first time. It won't be the last time that you spend more money than you expected to spend. I need your okay here and here. Lethal, lethal close. Be grateful close. This is the killer, killer close right here. Sorry to be using so many military terms today. I don't know why I'm thinking like that, but, you know, you need to get excited about your closes, folks. You got to have this arsenal. I mean, when I read some of these to you on this audio program, I'm thinking, man, I remember using that and it worked for me so well. Okay, so here, be grateful close. I agree with you. Now, be grateful that you can invest this much money. Not everyone can do this. There are people out there starving on this planet and you're investing in your wife or your company or yourself, whatever it is. I need your agreement here and here. Now, this is great for high-end products. It's great for big equipment sales. It's great for long-term leases. Anything that's improving a company or an individual, you want to use the Be Grateful close. This is a very, very strong close. It requires tremendous self-esteem and confidence on your part. See, the truth, if you would use the truth in the close, it'll cut through the resistance in people. It'll cut through the objections. It'll cut through the stalls. It'll cut through the complaints. And too few salespeople actually use the hard cold facts. This particular close works extremely well on those that have more than most, on the well-heeled people. It requires you to be strong. And as the old saying goes, be strong, be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. This is one of the master's closes. You want to use it. It's called Be Grateful Close. And it goes like this. I agree with you. Now, be grateful that you can invest this much money. Not everyone can do this. There's people, entire parts of countries starving on this planet while you are over here investing in yourself or your wife or your company or whatever the case. I need your agreement here and here. Let's do this. Congratulations, close. Hey, I know it's a big investment. And you should congratulate yourself for being able to make an investment of this magnitude. Not everyone can even consider living here or doing this or considering this kind of investment. I need your okay here and here. This close, like many you're being introduced to, uses the weight of the objection or the complaint as the momentum necessary to actually make the close. You want to use the objection rather than overcome it. Okay? So the congratulations close. Man, it's a lot of money, Grant. Man, it's a big investment for my company. I know it's a big investment, and you should congratulate yourself for being able to make an investment of this magnitude. Not everyone can even consider doing this. I need your okay here and here. Do it anyway, close. Now, I'm going to give you this close right now. The first time you hear it, you're going to probably laugh, and you're going to be like, come on, not really. You got to be kidding. This close is unbelievable. It's called Do It Anyway Close. Hey, I understand it's more money than you had budgeted. Do it anyway. I understand the payments are higher than you wanted to be. Do it anyway. I understand the price is more than you thought it would be. Do it anyway. I understand this is more than, you know, than your budget will allow you to do. Do it anyway. It's called Do It Anyway Close. And while I know that if you have never used some of these closes, they may seem like almost offensive and too bold and too outrageous, but you will have a different experience once you're using